You know, as one of the things that they've tried to do in the Nativity this morning, and just want to say thank you to Jenny. She wrote that, my mother-in-law. Thank you to her for writing it. And it's often, and I often hear Pastor John saying it as well, that some of the songs that we sing portray this Hollywood-style nativity. And a lot of it's a load of rubbish. You know, Sally and I went to Bethlehem and we got this nativity scene. This is from Bethlehem and it portrays everything is perfect. Everything is tranquil. Everything is nice. You've got the wise men, the kings there. Are they magi? Are they kings? So all this kind of stuff, the Hollywood stuff that is portrayed to us tries to make us think that it's all picture perfect. And actually, it probably weren't. It weren't idyllic. It weren't ideal as we are often portrayed. And they've tried to do that in the Nativity today, as Pastor Andy rightfully said a number of times. You weren't called Andy though, were you? Were you just Pastor?
Boss.
So if you wanted a title for what I want to bring this morning, again, very briefly, my title is For Nothing is Impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again because I think it's a really good principle for us all to understand. If you read something in Scripture, it's important. If you read something twice, you really better pay attention. It's really important. If something is said three times, it's kind of a whole different realm of things. And one of the things that I want to look at this morning is just the account of the nativity and what is going on. So in Matthew, we get the genealogy of Jesus. We get all the line from Abraham right through the line of David. In Mark, it recounts John as preparing the way before Jesus. Luke, is what we're going to look at, records the virgin birth. John recounts the Jesus's divinity and the word became flesh. Now, if we just go straight to the Nativity, I've very much overviewed those books there. There's so much more in them. But if we go straight to the sorry, I put Sally's teeth in this morning. If we go straight to the Nativity, we miss something of the impact of this story. So when you read through the Old Testament, there are so many prophetic statements about this scene, about what is going to happen. So you know, as Malachi finishes, we kind of had about a 400-year silence. We don't read anything. We don't really know anything. It's kind of quiet. And then we get the words of an angel that comes and speaks. The first things we hear from God in over 400 years. We've had all the prophets that have spoken lots of different things. Do you know Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies that you read about in Scripture? 400 years of silence, and yet Jesus fulfills over 300 prophecies that are spoke about in Scripture. Very quickly, Got Questions is a great website. If you've ever got questions, go to Got Questions. Now, Jake's going to put up on the screen for me just some of the prophetic things. He's going to go through them very quickly because there are so many and they're all listed on here. So if you want to know these, you can either pause it on the live stream and watch it back again or go to Got Questions. Have we got those pictures, Jake? Just go through. So there's one. We got next one. There's another one. And the next one. And keep going. There are so many prophetic things said in Scripture. And they just bring some of them. And if you read the top bit above it, it says, this is just some of the things that we understand. There's so much more. That's the thing with Scripture, isn't it? You read it and it is self-explaining. It explains it to you. And it just keeps getting more powerful as you read through Scripture. Okay, thanks for that. So So if you've got your Bibles, it will come up on the screen. What I want us to do is, I want us to do a little game, okay? So that group over there is a team. This group here is a team. This group here is a team. And you're a team over there, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through Luke 1 from verse 26, okay? And what I want you to do, Pastor, I need your help here, as the biblical scholar of this church, and you're gonna find a winner. So what they have to do is, as I am reading through this scripture, I need you to stick up your hand when I am reading something prophetic, okay? So something you remember reading in the Old Testament, I'm going to read a few verses here, and you stick up your hand when it's something prophetic, okay? I'll stand back a little bit. Luke 1 from verse 26. No bribing. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. They're a bit slow with these hands, aren't they? They're a bit slow. Okay, we've had two prophetic words already, if you've missed them. Nazareth was one. A virgin was another. So to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son." I'm struggling to watch it and read, so that's why I'm relying on Pastor. "And you will give him the name Jesus." Or Matthew records it as Emmanuel. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." You can have a double point if you want. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. Who won, Pastor?
The first, I think, is that one and this one.
Oh. Thank you. You know, just in those few verses, there are so many prophetic things that have been said hundreds of years ago. You know, I just said about the 400 years of silence. So this is even hundreds of years before that, that people would say things that are going to happen in the future. There are so many specifics about Jesus Christ, even where he was born, which I guess a baby doesn't have much choice in where they are born. But so many were fulfilled in his birth, here with a virgin, so many. And you know, the other thing that I blew my mind when I was looking into this, whenever you get a presence of God, so the angels or somebody come in, they often come with a "do not be afraid," don't they? They often come with a "do not be afraid." Do you know that's around 300 times again in scripture where it says "do not be afraid"? You know, when God is speaking to people, he'll often say, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Because when God is with you, we don't need to be afraid. So whatever is you are facing tomorrow, you don't have to be afraid, because nothing is impossible with God. I thought I might have had a few more amens there. Now, when you look at Mary, the chosen woman or girl to be the one to carry the Messiah, I mean, how awesome is that? But when you look back, who was Mary? Was she something special? Was she something that, who was she? She wouldn't have been anything special, would she? She wouldn't have been rich. She wouldn't have been living in a palace. She wouldn't have, she was just normal as you could have been in those days. Probably, biblical scholars say she were probably fairly well educated, knew some of the scriptures because of the things that she responded and the song that she sang and how she responded with carrying the Messiah. But you know, one of the things that I really loved is that he said, found favor with God. How many of you want God's favor? You know, as I look back through scripture as well, in Exodus 32:11, Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Moses sought the favor. In Ezra 7:28, he says, extended his good favor to me. In Nehemiah 5:19, remember me with favor. Job 33:26, he prays to God and finds favor with him. In Daniel 9:17, O Lord, look with favor. These are all things that they're wanting God to do. God, will you look to me with favor? But here in Luke 1:30, Mary found favor with God. Mary had lived a life, I believe, that was right. That was right in God's eyes. That was a blessing to God, and found favor in God's eyes. I want to live like that, don't you? In the midst of, bearing in mind, 400 years of silence, we think, hang on a minute, I haven't heard God speak to me. I really don't feel God moving in my life. I don't feel me, this. But yet, what would Mary have been like? 400 years of silence, and yet all the prophetic words that she will have mulled it over, she will have contemplated, she will have thought about. Do we contemplate, do we think on scripture? Are we blessed by the words that we have that God gives us? See, God massively wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. Whether you're on live stream, whether you are here, God wants a relationship with you. He has done everything that needs to be done, which is why Jesus, when he was on the cross, he was able to say, it is finished. So now, as Christians, as people who live a Christ life, we can say, yeah, God, nothing is impossible for you. Amen? I want to find favor with God. I want to live my life, and I want to say that nothing is impossible with God. So whatever does face us tomorrow, next week, whatever Christmas you are going to have, can I say, do not fear. Do not fear, because when God is in the mix, his bold statement is always, do not fear. Which is why the Nativity was saying, no, it's nice to see little kids dressed up as angels and that. It is, but actually they were quite a sight. And you look at the time when the angels came to the shepherds. Again, they came to Mary, who was just a normal girl. But yeah, then they came to the shepherds. It just shows you they didn't come to King Herod, did they? They didn't come to other people in power. They came to the lowly people and said, do not be afraid. And then we see a reed of a heavenly host singing praises to God. You see, when God is in the mix, we have nothing to fear. Amen? For nothing is impossible with God. We're to not fear whatever tomorrow brings. And I pray that this Christmas time, we will all find favour in God. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. And God, we thank you that, Lord, you give us this word. You give us the Bible to read and to digest and for it to be part of our lives. So Lord, let us not just see the idyllic scenery of the Nativity, but Lord, let us know the real word. Let us look to you, the living word, and allow you to be glorified in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.